Blog Talk Radio.
Again, this is Fernando with Fernando Point Show. It is Sunday night, 10 p.m. August the 1st. Is it August the 1st? Yes, it is. I just double checked that. Sunday, August 1st, 2010. We are on for another hour and a half, so hang out with us. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/TheFernandoPoniente Show. The Fernando Poniente Show. We are live and streaming on the internet. If you want to participate, call 347-884-8125. That is the number you got to call, and press 1 when you're calling, so I know that you are that you want to participate on our talk fest tonight. We're going to be talking about some news, current events, and what's going on around the world. And the chat room is going to be open, so you can chat there if you want to be in blogtalkradio.com/TheFernandoPoniente Show. And click on the chat room. It says chat now. it will be there. We're going to be talking about some sports and also some odd news and not so odd news. And maybe some internet, web 2.0 social media news, and also we're going to be doing some on this date segment. We're going to be doing that, and also we are going to talk about some topics that you want to hear, the Bible stuff and the biblical perspective. In addition to that, we should get going, and pretty soon we'll open up the phone lines. All right, 347-884-8125. That is the number you want to call. We got to start up real quick on this date segment. Again, today is the 1st of August, so it'll be 2010. Wow. Seems like just a year ago, it was 2009. Yeah. That's a joke, by the way. Laugh. I don't have any, there we go, clap notes. Jumping in there real quick, here we go. On this day is August 1st, 2010. On this day is in highlights in history. August 1st, 1936, there's 100,000 saluted Adolf Hitler on his entrance at the opening of the Berlin Olympics. 1936, about 100,000 people saluted Adolf Hitler on his entrance at the opening at the Berlin Olympics. That's a lot of people. That is right. On August 1st, 1874, Charles Spalding, Mr. Spalding, the insurance man who built one of America's largest black-owned businesses, was born on August 1st, 1874. Following his death on the August 1st, 1952. Same date. That same year, of course. On this date of 1790, on this date, the first U.S. Census was completed, showing a population of nearly 4 million people in 1790, the first U.S. Census. That is 4 million people back in 1790. Oh, my leg fell asleep. Okay, Now, 1876, Colorado was admitted to the Union as the 38th state. That was on August 1st, 1876. 1914, Germany declared war on Russia at the onset of World War I. 1942, rock musician Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead was born in San Francisco. 1943, race-related rioting erupted in New York City, Harlem section. That was resulting in several deaths back in 1943, August 1st. We continue on. Fast forward to the 1981 music video cable channel MTV made its debut. That's right, 1981. It was back in 19. I was in maybe, I don't know, first grade, maybe second grade, something like that. Yep, that's right. MTV music cable channel thing into its made its debut. That was cool as the Kool-Aid back then. 1988, conservative commentator Rush Limbaugh began broadcasting his nationally syndicated radio program in 1988. 1995, Westinghouse Electric Corp. struck a deal to buy CBS for $5.4 billion from back in 1995. 2005, King Fahd of Saudi Arabia died. The Crown Prince Abdullah, the king's half-brother, became the country's new monarch. As in 2005. 2005 again, Baltimore Orioles first baseman Rafael Palmeiro was suspended for 10 days following a positive case for steroids. We all remember, I remember that back in 2005. 2007, the 8-lane Interstate 35 West Bridge in Minneapolis collapsed into the Mississippi River during evening rush hour and killing 13 people. That's in 2000. Tragic. And three years ago, that's happened in Minneapolis. And last but not least, a former Philippine President Corazon Aquino, the democracy icon who had swept away the terror, died in Manila at the age of 76, August 1st, 2009. Another tragic thing that happened. And today's birthdays and current and memorable mentions and birthdays. We'll do this, and I'll do my Facebook friend's birthday and see who's having a birthday, and we'll congratulate them, you know. That's a birthday thing. Today is the birthday of Ramblin' Jack Elliott, turns 79 years old today. Ramblin' Jack turns 79. And also Lawrence Eagleburger, former Secretary of State, turns 80 today. 79, Tom Wilson is the cartoonist Ziggy, turns 79. Also, Alfonso Di Amato, former U.S. Senator in New York, turns 73 today. Happy birthday. Roy Williams turns 60. And who else? That's not him. I already mentioned that one. Chuck D, the rapper and Public Enemy, turns 50. Chuck D, the Public Enemy rapper, turns 50. And also, Coolio the rapper turns 47. Yeah, he turns 47 today. And also, Adam Duritz, rock singer, Counting Crows, turns 46. Wow. Sam Mendes, a director, turns 45. And also, Tempest Bledsoe, he's an actress on the Cosby Show. Cosby Shows. Which one is that? I don't know. Also, Evan James, a football player, turns 32 today. And those are the birthdays. If you want to know the historic birthdays, I go on. Hold on a second. Let me see if there's historic birthdays here. I don't have anything down. We'll just move on to my birthday on my Facebook. If you're having a birthday, if you're my Facebook friend and you are having a birthday today, whether it be a spiritual or a physical, fleshly birthday, happy birthday to you. And here in a minute, I want to congratulate you. Maybe you are listening. So let me log you to my my Facebook account, who is having a birthday today. And then we'll talk about some more. No one's having a birthday today? What? No, tell me you're not having a birthday today, my friend. Oh, there it is. See all birthdays on the top and on the right top thing. So they moved it. It used to be on the bottom right-hand corner. They moved it. Today, Keith Burtis having a birthday. Today, also tomorrow, will be David Cook and Nathan Kagan. 63 years old, Nathan Kagan. This week, Jeremiah Fraser is actually August 3rd, so he's going to be 30 and 26. Angela Polito, August 3rd, 26-year-old. Oyet Ledesma, August 3rd, 45 years old. Larise Fudge, that's a good name. Fudge, that's a good last name. Michael Lisak, August 5th, and Sabrina Collins, August 5th, Christian Ruiz, August 5th, that's the same guy. Aaron Strode, August 6th, Mary Joy, August 6th, and on and on and on. Happy birthday to you guys. I don't have to do 15, you know, to do all that, but we're running out of time, so I'm sorry. I do apologize. Here is That's Your Birthday Things, and also on this day segment, we're talking about things tonight. Thank you guys. All right, and we're going to dive into this segment. Do some sports news later on today. And let me say hi to my co-host. This is Dawn P.
I am glad to be a show. I know that there are other things that have been done. Lord bless us so we can get to this time without having a show. What's our topic for tonight, Fernando?
All right. We had just had a little technical difficulties. I don't know what happened there. What's going on with my IT team? What's going on over there? We are back. Actually, we're talking about Ozzie Guillen, the White Sox manager, ranting about their Spanish are not treated as well as in comparison to Japanese players, what she calls Asian. Well, they are, but you said that something about, okay, let me read that again. He said that they bring a Japanese player and they're very good and they bring all these privileges to them. And they bring a Dominican kid and says, blank, you go to the minor leagues and good luck. And you're always going to be going like that and it's never going to change. And he also, read on here. He said that the MLB only cares about how often he argues with umpires and what he says to the media. And also, he said it's unfair that Japanese players are assigned translators when they come to the U.S. to play pro ball. Well, pro ball. The Latinos are not. Here's my take on that thing. Okay, so now we're answering that. He also said the land players in the White Sox are lucky because they speak Spanish. You know, him and, you know, a lot of players in the White Sox and White Sox roster speak Spanish. But if you think of it, not just White Sox. You know, I mean, Chicago has the Spanish-speaking coaches. No teams actually fund academies in Latin America. I don't know why Ozzy is playing the victim card. But I would bet that if some of the players, say Miguel Cabrera, if he asked for an interpreter as part of his contract, I mean, they would give it to him. Or he'd probably get one. You know, what he doesn't understand, what Ozzy doesn't understand, the Japanese players with interpreters are, they are stars, baseball stars, players. They can afford one. I'm pretty sure if the U.S. teams, if they started signing Japanese amateurs, like they do in the Latin American, I don't think there would not be an interpreter for each player. Those who come to, like those players, that comes from Japanese are, they are stars. They're not just, amateur players or minor league players. They're trying to be a star. So I think that's what he's missing. And I don't know what you're on a team. Considering one team, they might have, three to up to 10 players that speak Spanish. You know, if you're a Japanese player, you come into the United States, let's say you don't have an interpreter, you're more likely to be by yourself. So I don't see, I don't know where he's coming from. Or I don't know what does he want to do. He wants interpreters? Well, I think he wants the MLB, the Major League Baseball, to provide interpreters for those, for Latin Americans that comes, to the United States to play. But my take on that is they take like 50% or more. I mean, there's a lot of Latin Americans there Latinos that plays in the United States or in the Major League Baseball. So what is your take? Do you think they should have a, you know, let's say they make $400,000, $500,000 a year, and if they can afford an interpreter, can they be given one? Can they be allowed to?
It's good. They can afford it.
So what you're saying is that the player is the one that's hiring the interpreter, is that correct?
Players and managers, I mean, you know.
I mean, first of all, that's your boss. If it's your manager, it's your boss. So why are you complaining about another employee having, you know, that privilege? And, I mean, yeah, like you said, why are they pulling the race card? I mean, they're held accountable for what they do. They shouldn't feel like self-pity because they don't have interpreter. Maybe they have more opportunity to learn English than the other people. And so they should just, like you said, like if the Japanese, there's just one Japanese guy, but there's like 10 people that speak Spanish, at least a couple of them probably speak English that can interpret for them, so why waste money? Well, it's not wasting money if you're giving somebody a job, but still, you know, if the they can just help each other out because they're supposed to be playing as a team, right?
Yeah, but, you know, again, that's Ozzy for you. You know, I mean, he doesn't, you know, when I read the article, what is he trying to get? You know, I don't know what he's trying. He's trying to get a point across that actually, you know, the Latinos are still treated lower class than the other, you know, if you compare that to an Asian players, but regardless, they're baseball players. They make $500 minimum, $500,000 a year. I don't think they're going to care for an interpreter. They're just there to play baseball,
right.
You know.
They know the rules. What else
they should
know?
Right. They should know the rules of baseball. I don't think, you know, I don't think they're going to come here in the United States and go, I don't know how to hold a bat. Could you explain that to me? You know, I don't know where the first base is or second base. I don't know the rules of baseball. that's just, to me, that's just, I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. I mean, why would he, I guess it's just ranting, I guess. So we'll give it to Ozzy. But if Major League Baseball, if he wants Major League Baseball to come up with some kind of a, you know, program that, you know, that would allow each player to have their interpreters to, you know, I mean, how are they going to pay that? Are they going to pay them? They should pay for that, right? That should come out of their paycheck. They should come out of, you know, their $1.5 million a year salary. You know, I don't think Major League Baseball should provide that for free. What do you think?
I agree. Yeah, they have the money. Why not just pay their own interpreter if they really want an interpreter? And besides, do they know how much that Japanese guy is making? Maybe that Japanese guy is getting that interpreter taken out of his check. Do they know? I mean, maybe they don't really talk about it, and they're just, like, having self-pity, which they shouldn't be doing, you know, because it can create a lot of bitterness and then kind of where they don't want to work as a team, which is what they are not supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be working as a team and being supportive of one another.
That's right. Well, we kind of beat that. So we're going to move on to another, you know, some kind of word. Don't give random applause to Ozzy. We'll move on. All right, this segment is going to go to the top news on my Facebook page. We're running out of running out of things to talk about. No. But anyway, Gurley Santos, she still can't believe that the Little Monkey Business, which is the gateway dinner dash, was a success on its first week. Loved my two Bs, Bebe, Francine Alvarez, and Babe M.A. Grace Morris. That's news. Also, 9 hours ago, Emil Garcia Poniente is eating Halo Halo, and he said, yummy, yummy. Six hours ago, Eric Broadway actually posted a video saying that a video of a kid, I think, is jumping off a fence, cut class, and he said it was pretty funny. And Joel Poniente Candad has actually just posted 7 hours ago the best email of the year, and he quote, touching. Also, about an hour ago, Lindsay Hudzinski quoted, my brain ran off somewhere. If anyone sees it, please help me put it back on. LOL. For all of you that have been reading my Facebook about me locking my keys in my car. Well, I did it again tonight, but I left my hidden key. Well, so he hidden in my purse. So he has an extra key. She has an extra key. Oh my goodness! She did it again for the second time. Oh man, that was just the the little commercial. All right, family of four stuck in bog for 4 days because they chose to use the GPS and ignore the road closed signs after heavy rains. So they're stuck for 4 days. Let's read on. Family rescued after GPS blunder. A family of four and their dog spent 4 days bugged in mud in far west New South Wales after being led astray by a GPS unit. Police say the driver drove off the road while following instructions from the GPS on Sunday. They said the GPS instructed the driver to travel along the close road near Wilcannia, and the driver ignored the signs, and weather conditions prevented police from getting to the family sooner, but they were finally rescued last night. Cops says the rescue team from Wilcannia was finally able to get them out a couple days ago. The crew were actually brave and extremely difficult in a treacherous road condition and travel, traveling there. But here's the main question. It says, led astray by the GPS and ignore the sign that says closure. Why would you want to do that? Let's go start with you, Don. What do you say to this family?
I don't mean to disrespect them or anything, but not just about them, but the point is, you need to, as my husband likes to say, use common sense. Okay, the road is closed and the GPS is telling you to ignore that sign, right? So are you letting the GPS become your common sense? Are you letting the GPS dictate what you do now? You have to really be careful. Don't you watch, maybe it's sci-fi, but don't you watch things like Eagle Eye? Maybe it's on purpose, the GPS making you get lost. Or maybe it's just a test to see if you're going to use your common sense, just really don't trust a machine more than you trust common sense, the Lord. Don't trust the machine more than you trust the Lord. And when it comes to common sense, the road is closed, do not go through. And that's what I have to say.
Just like seeing a fire, but the fire alarm's not going off. Would you run? I know it's a stupid analogy for that. But what I'm saying is, it's a piece of instrument. It's a piece of device that a man created and they can be faulty. That means they can something like go wrong. And also with a GPS like that, let's just say traveling along the interstate highway, and all of a sudden there's a bridge caved in. You know, some GPS actually, I don't know now, but the older version, they don't update that. You know, you're still gonna say go through that, but again, like Don says, if you common sense, you can use your common sense. Do it for crying out loud. City employee supplies. Here's another news that I want to talk about is the city employees. They actually applies for promotion, passes everything, but the vision test, and not only get denied the promotion, but get fired as well. That's horrible. Davenport City worker goes for promotion, gets fired instead. So, said Rory Armstrong, we're content to stay a pothole patcher and an occasional snowplow driver to the city of Davenport. He still, he still has his job in his house today. And if he would have, passed that, he would still have his job in his house today. But Armstrong decided to apply for a promotion, so contentment. So if he would have been, content to stay a pothole patcher, he would still have the job today. But no, he decided to apply for a promotion. And as a result, the 43-year-old was fired in 2008 after failing a vision test. The gentleman who had received favorable job performance reviews and maintained a valid commercial driver's license, or called CDL, was forced out because City Human Resources Department's adopted new standards from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. In the two years since, his credit score has plummeted, and he lost his house to foreclosures. I got canned and all went down, he said. Things could be looking up soon, he said. So this guy applied, I know they talked about being contentment, being content for where you are. I mean, then the news, the article says, if you were content, on being a pothole patcher, I think it was a pothole patcher or snowplow remover when it's winter, he would still have, a house today and his job. But no, he went for some kind of a test to get a promotion. Instead of getting a promotion, actually got canned because he failed the vision test. What do you say to this?
Couldn't they just request him to get glasses?
Right. How come they didn't do that? Well, maybe because, they're not supposed to wear glasses. It has to be just, it's just no glasses.
What about contacts? I mean, he could even probably get cash back if he goes to shopinsuperhighway.com.
No. Let's read. Let's see what he has to say. Not like I have him here, but let's go read the article again.
Okay, it says there's some kind of human resources department that actually adopted new standards from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. The appeals court noted that municipal governments were specifically exempted from having to use the new federal requirements, and the Davenport City Council needed to approve the change in city policy establishing the new guidelines. Furthermore, the ruling says the city could not prove Armstrong could not adequately or safely perform the jobs he was asked to do. So the judges noted that although the vision is in his left eye was 20 by 200, he possesses a 20
515, uncorrected vision using both eyes. He received a favorable job review the year prior to being terminated, and he possessed a valid IOCDL. So, he said, we are persuaded by the foregoing evidence that the commission did not show Armstrong was physically incapable of performing his job duties. The appeals court wrote, quote unquote, we accordingly find the city's reason for discharging Armstrong to be arbitrary. Okay? So the ironic thing Armstrong said is that he wouldn't even have a CDL if he weren't for the city. He was hired by the city as a custodian but lost the job due to budget cuts in 2006. Before he was laid off, the city human resources and public works department personal help workers losing their jobs trained for a CDL test, he said. The city even paid for the test, for the CDL test. So he passed the CDL test. You know, it means it requires getting the vision test, I don't know, about 20-something standard on that. So he passed the CDL test. Actually, the city paid for that. But when he took some kind of test for promotion and he failed the vision, then they fired him.
Well, you know, it is written in the number one selling book in the world, I think it is called, the number one book. It says, the book is called the Bible. It says that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the principalities and the princes of the air, okay? So, perhaps it has nothing to do with that. I mean, for example, my husband was doing really good on his job. I mean, he was promoted. He excelled in his job. And within 4 months, the Lord gave him extraordinary wisdom of how to take care of the marine animals, even more than a marine biologist. And he didn't even go to school for that. I mean, so he got the compliments and the, you know, and whatever, and what those are called. I don't know what those are called, but compliments. And, but, you know, they gave him an unexpected bonus. And then within a week later, they let him go. Okay? So it's kind of like you never know when you're going to be let go. That's why it's good to have a backup plan. And, you know, but because of that, the Lord put us in this place to, like I wrote on my Facebook earlier, that, you know, if you're trusting in God, God will put you in the place He wants you to be in order to get you where you need to be. And, you know, if it wasn't maybe for this guy, he was almost walking off the pathway of righteousness if he was seeking God, and maybe God is using this to draw him closer to Him. So this guy really should take the opportunity to draw closer to God and trust in God that though, yes, he lost his house and many people, you know, in the world think that it's the worst thing happened is that you lose your house, and it's, you know, nobody wants to lose their house, especially if their house has equity. But there's a lot worse things that can happen, such as losing your eternal salvation. So, you know, perhaps God seen what pathway this guy was on, and God intervened, and maybe it is an answer to the guy's prayers, though it may not seem like it yet.
Well said. I like that. Well said. So, let's move on. We'll do the little sports recap here in a little bit, and then we'll go on to the topic if you want to talk about that. Oh, hold on a second here. My chat room. Okay, there we go. Let's go to the scoreboard for the National League or Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball. Actually, just, you know, we're going to do the Chicago, actually Chicago one, the White Sox, actually, over Oakland. And actually, Milwaukee lost. Houston actually beat the Milwaukee 5-2. And Chicago Cubs actually lost against the Colorado by 8-7. And that is your Major League Baseball updates on the score. I gotta give me one of those sports things. I don't have any. Dan Turkey, what do you say?
Gobble, gobble.
I like that one. The gobble, gobble. So, what do you want to talk about today? And the topic for today is on Don. Go ahead, fire away the topic, and we'll take it up from here. Topic of the day.
The topic is the reason why the servants of God in the Church of God, why we should be knowledgeable about the signs and the times according to the Bible. So, the reason why the servants of God in the Church of God should be knowledgeable about the signs and times according to the Bible. First of all, we pray to the Father who art in heaven that he'll help us and our listeners to hear and listen and understand the things he desires us to listen to and understand. And I pray for people to forgive me, and Lord, forgive me if I cannot deliver this topic fully. And so that is our topic. The reason, in Jesus' name we pray. The reason why the servants of God in the Church of God should be knowledgeable about the signs and times according to the Bible. First of all, do we have the power to know the time? That is the question. I think we're going to take a break for a couple minutes, so stay tuned. And we'll come back, Lord willing.
Hey, y'all, this is Rob. You're listening to my boy Fernando's show. Hell of a show, y'all should be paying attention. Peace out.
Hi, this is Tim from ChickDad.com, and you're listening to the Fernando Poniatti Show.
This is Ken Pettigrew, host of the Ken Pettigrew Show. You want to know what pisses me off? Too much government, too much taxes, and not enough rights. Come check out my show, The Ken Pettigrew Show, at blogtalkradio.com/Ken-Pettigrew. Live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Your voice is a weapon. Come pull the trigger with Ken Pettigrew at blogtalkradio.com, where your voice is a weapon.
Forgotten Hero, the independent film that Hollywood refused to distribute.
They were asked to risk their lives in order to save their enemy.
The producers of Forgotten Heroes are donating 25% of all sales to the American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial Fund.
We need someone to go in there and bring them out.
From first-time director Jack Marino, the home run for America's Vietnam veteran.
They are Forgotten Heroes.
Buy the DVD now at ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com. That's ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com.
Oh,
are back. We are back. This is Fernando and Fernando Poniente Show. We have Michael Wills going through the topic for today. And the topic for today, we're going back. We'll pick it up right now. Is the, what is this? What is this says here? The reason why the servants of God in the church of God, why should be knowledgeable about the signs and times according to the Bible? We can find that out in just a minute.
Okay, we're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6 through 7, to find out, do we have the power to know the times? It is written, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Do the children of God and the church of God have the right to know? Based upon this Bible verse, it seems like we don't have the right to know, because it is written, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. You know, Brother Ellie, or one of our leaders, or one of their assistants, they were discussing this topic within about a month ago regarding the times, that it makes sense that we don't know the time because, you know, in America right now, in Illinois, it's 10:50 p.m., right? Divapol. But in Philippines, it is, by the way, Divapol means right in Tagalog, Filipino language that I'm trying to learn with God's help. So in the Philippines right now, though, it is, I think, 11:50 a.m., and it's not Sunday. It's Monday now, and over there in like different parts of the world, you know, for example, in California of USA, it's about 3 hours behind us, so it's about maybe 7:50 p.m. So if Jesus were to say, I'm coming back at midnight, where? Where is it midnight? If he to say, and then I'm going to, with it says in the book of Acts, it's not for us to know the seasons, I'm going to say, okay, well, if Jesus said he's going to come during harvest time, well, harvest time where? Fernando, you're from the Philippines, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So is it harvest time right now for rice, or when is the harvest time?
You know what? August. Yeah, pretty soon.
So you see, like, but in America we have harvest time also, but I believe it's in October. So if he's to say I'm going to come in harvest time, then people may say harvest time where? So it's true. God's word is so true and wise the way Jesus answered. It is not for us to know the time or the season of when Jesus is coming back for us. Do the children of God in the church of God have the right to know? The answer is no, based upon the Bible. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 36, to look for further example. It is written in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. What we should know are the times. Not the time, but the times. We do not even know the very near time. For example, let's go to the book of James so that you can understand
what I'm talking about when I say we do not know. I mean, we do not even know the very near times. How are we to know a time that may be far off? We are not sure. But it is sooner. Jesus is coming back sooner now than he was 2,000 years ago because time has gone on. As the song said, as time goes by. But I'm just singing that part because I don't think the rest of the song is biblical, but I'm not 100% sure. So we're going to the book of James chapter 4, verse 13 and all the way to 15. So chapter 4 of the book of James, verse 13 through 15. It is written, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. When you find good to do, do it at once. Why? Because you do not know if you'll be here tomorrow. And if you are alive tomorrow, you may find another opportunity to do good. So very good to not procrastinate. Do not put off tomorrow. I mean, do not put off what you can do today till tomorrow, if you can do it today. It is prohibited to boast about tomorrow. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 1. So it is prohibited to boast about tomorrow. Why? Because we do not know what tomorrow beholds. We don't even know in 5 minutes what's going to happen. Do you think that the people that were hit by hurricanes, that they knew that it was going to hit their house? No, because there's been, even during the typhoon in Indonesia, I've heard of stories where someone was praying, and the what is that? I think it's, I don't know if it's a typhoon, but the tsunami went right around their house. Didn't even come in their house, went right around. So we do not know. Now, in the book of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's why it's so important to give every day to the Lord and try our best with God's help to serve him. Now let's go to what does God expect from his servants? Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 through 3, to find out what does God expect from his servants. There's the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. To find out what God expects from his servants. The book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky. But can ye not discern the signs of the time? That's what is written. It is written, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today. For the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? We have the obligation. So we have the obligation to discern the signs of the times. We may not know the time that the Lord is coming back for us, but we need to know of the times. For example, like I was saying about rice, but in planting rice and drying salt, you need to know the signs of the season. For example, you can't just plant rice in the, what is that? Can't plant rice in the rain, Fernando? Is that correct?
Well, yeah, it's not, you know, it's monsoon season, you can't plant rice.
Okay, and when you're drying salt, do you think it's wise to dry it when it's typhoon weather?
You ought to lose all of them.
Because the salt would melt, right?
Scientifically, yes.
Okay, so you see, you have to know the signs of the times. Just like in planting rice, I mean, not exactly, because it's when Jesus coming back, it's, you know, it's more important. But, you know, this is a metaphor, is that when planting rice and drying salt, you need to know the signs of the season. Now, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 26 through verse 31. That's the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 26 through 31. It is written, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. That is the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 26 through 31. So there are signs that introduce the coming of the times. There's a sequence of events that lead to our redemption. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 3 through 8, to find out what are the signs of the end of time. What are some of the signs? The book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 3 through verse 8, it is written, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So, I mean, even now we hear of people claiming to be Christ. For example, in the Philippines, I believe his name is Kiboloy. Is that correct, Fernando?
No, that would be Kiboloy.
Kiboloy. Okay, his name is Kiboloy. I think that's Q-U-I-B-U-L-O-Y, right?
Yeah, just take note that this is a guy from the Philippines, self-proclaimed son of God, actually. You know, the real lunatic, that's what I said. that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think that everybody in his church, you know, thinks that he is that, like, if they're a member, or I don't know, but they just be seeing some video. But anyway, yeah, so there's signs. And also rumors of wars. I mean, there's many rumors of wars that North Korea with some nuclear stuff going on, you know. Also, you know, that's a rumor. Is it proven? I mean, they haven't done it yet, so it's a rumor. Because a rumor is just a story that's made up that may not have facts, right? And also wars. I mean, there's war in Middle East right now, I believe. And, I mean, famines, like in, I think it's Ethiopia, you hear of famines, you know, and pestilences and earthquakes. Earthquakes have been happening, like, more often now, you know. So these are just the signs of the times that are going to begin before Jesus comes back. You know, some people, when hearing of wars or nuclear war impending, they end their life. You know, but we should not fear wars because there is a sequence of events. Also, it's not good for a person to take anyone's life, including their own. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 45 through 51, to see what else it has to say about the end of time. That's the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Verse 45 through verse 51. So if you were already on our last verse, that was Matthew 24, verse 3 through 8. Now we're going to be reading, Lord willing, the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 45 through 51. It is written, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You know, if the unfaithful servant knew when his master was coming, and like, for example, if he knew he was coming in 2 hours, that unfaithful servant would be cleaning, and he wouldn't be caught idling. So he has a spirit of hypocrisy because he is only like, so when his master's not there, he's doing what he wants. He's like eating with the drunkards and things like that. But if he knew that his Lord was coming, he would act as if like he wasn't participating in that those type of things. You see, so he has a spirit of hypocrisy. Now, besides being prepared, why should a servant of God, so besides being prepared for Lord Jesus Christ coming back, why should a servant of God be knowledgeable about the signs and times according to the Bible? Once again, I just want to thank the Lord that you guys are listening to this topic and that he's guiding us all, you know, because it's very important to learn more about God and his word. So, you know, maraming salamat po sa Dios for that. That means thanks very much be to God for that. Now, so besides being prepared for Christ's coming, What else is the reason why the servants of God in the church of God must be knowledgeable of the signs of the times according to the Bible? Even though we don't have the power to know the times with God, with God's help, we have the ability to know of the signs of the times. God wants us to and expects us to know the signs of the times. Why is the reason behind this that God wants us to know the reasons why the servants of God in the church of God must be knowledgeable of the signs of the times according to the Bible? Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1. That would be the book after Proverbs, and Proverbs is after Psalms. So the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1, it is written, "To everything there is a season, in a time, to every purpose under the heaven." So there's work done by God every time has a purpose. The signs of the times we are living in has a purpose. Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 1. I'm sorry about that. It's the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4. Once again, the reference is the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4. It is written, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." You know, as you see, many people are running to and fro nowadays. For example, you see those traffic jams, especially, you know, if you live in a big city or near a big city or in a city with a lot of people, you know. And there's even, like, people at sea. Sometimes, like, ships crash into each other. There's airplanes. It's, like, you know, frequently in the air. I mean, like, almost all the time there's an airplane, at least one airplane in the air. There's things in outer space. You know, so many are running to and fro. Knowledge has increased, for example, the internet, medicine, like open heart surgery. If you would have tried that like a while ago, you know, like 100 years ago, people would have died. But, you know, because of medicine, the knowledge has increased how to operate on an open heart surgery. They're able to do that. You know, how to grow rice. They have, like, I think in the Philippines now, instead of taking 6 months to grow rice, now they're able to grow it in, like, 3 months. You know, chicken, cutting the chicken, like, in half the time. I mean, like, growing the chicken in half the time. So, you see, like, knowledge is increasing. Is there something God will do in this time? Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 9. It is written, "And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." And then we're going to also read the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 10. So we're going to read verse 9 through 10 of the book of Daniel, chapter 12. "And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of the time. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So many shall be purified and made white and tried." Why should they be washed? Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 3. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. It says, it is written, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's the book of Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Many turn back to the Lord. Why? Because of the servants of God who were wise. How did they become wise? Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, I mean. Book of Matthew chapter 12, the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. It is written, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That is the work of God. So God is the one that makes the people wise in order for them to help others to turn back to God. God cares about us. God loves us. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 18. The book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. It is written, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So that means that there will need to be disciples made in all nations. Teach all nations. So we need to keep working in that, and then the end will come. We need to do that, even on to the end of the world. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. What does God expect from members of the Church of God in the end times to fulfill God's purpose? Let's go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, to find out what does God expect from members of the Church of God in the end times to fulfill God's purpose. The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. It is written, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So what should we do? We should not sleep. We should be aware, lest the times come upon us unawares. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 33. The book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 33. It is written, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. What does even at the door mean? Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. It is written in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. The work of God is the work of the church, not one man. You know, Brother Ellie, he, with God's mercy and God's help, I mean, God could have chosen any person, but God chose to use Brother Ellie, and by God's grace and God's mercy, Brother Ellie has been able to continue with the prayers of others to the Lord Jesus Christ, and with God's help, Brother Ellie has been able to continue walking with God, you know. And that is why it's the work of God is the work of the church, not one man. That's why we need more workers, as even Jesus said himself, pray ye that the Father will, pray ye that God will raise up harvesters for the harvest, I mean laborers, for the harvest is ripe. So the harvest is ripe and plentiful. I believe that's in, I'm not sure exactly, you think that's in John chapter 10. But let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. It is written, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So you shouldn't just like wait and say, oh, I'll just wait. So I get older, I want to party first, you know, I want to have fun. That is bad advice somebody's giving you if you think that you want to have fun before you serve God. Because you know what, first of all, you don't know if you'll be alive in 5 minutes from now. And second of all, you don't know if you'll be alive tomorrow. Third of all, things that you do that Satan causes you to think are fun today, if you keep your word and Lord gives you and extends grace and mercy to you and allows you to live longer, those are things that you will regret a lot of times. You know, all the drinking, the reveling and fornication and adultery and things, taking drugs, whatever, you know, things like that, that you think that if you're not walking with God now and you think are fun, when it comes the time that you're walking with God, by God's mercy and grace and strength and power of God, you can try to forget those things. And with God's help, you can leave them in the past. But once in a while, the enemy may try to bring it up. You know, just like Fernando told people, if you're going to run into politics, be careful what you put on Facebook, because if you're even thinking about running in politics, don't put nude pictures on Facebook. Don't put half-clothed stuff on Facebook, because don't put, like, you drinking on Facebook, because you know what? People are going to dig that up. People are going to dig it up. And you know who helps them? Satan. Because God's word says that when we ask for forgiveness, our sins are as far apart as east is from the west. And you know what? The east and the west never meet. Therefore, that means God forgets. Once we ask for forgiveness, God forgets. So if you're thinking about things of your past and dwelling on them, and you already asked for forgiveness, you don't need to. Because you know what? God doesn't remember them. So if you keep asking for forgiveness for that one sin, God doesn't know what you're talking about. Once you ask for forgiveness, if he forgave you, he forgot. But yes, he will judge you. He will judge you based upon your works when he comes back. And he will judge you upon your works, whether they were good. He remembers the good things you do. God is merciful. Because to him, you know what? Sin is sin. And a lie is a lie. A lie is the same as adultery. A lie is the same as stealing. A lie is the same as killing. In God's eyes, a sin is a sin to God. So once you ask for forgiveness, you know what God remembers? God remembers the good things you do. Don't let the enemy be reminding you of bad things you've done. Now let's go to the book of Isaiah 43:13, just to read. We're going to read that, the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 13. Shows how powerful God is. It is written, "Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" Leave off with that verse. And Fernando, do you have any other comments to say?
No. You pretty much covered that, and I like that topic. The part that, you can't, there's a lot of signs the signs of times that people miss because of they're stuck in their own little worldly things going on, the jobs, the career, and what's going on, the media, the movies and all that, they're missing the signs. Actually, the Israelites, I'm not saying all of them, actually, the Jewish people actually, is still waiting for the Messiah to come. They're still, they're actually, it says all recorded in the Bible, all the signs and all the, the prophets were, the coming of Messiah were foretold, and they had written that, Prophet Isaiah, actually, prophesied that, and Jesus Christ actually, fulfilled all those prophecies. And how could they miss that? You know what I mean? And if you read the Prophet of Isaiah, and actually they talk about the nation that, the nation that's going to give thanks to God, coming from the east. That's what it says in Prophet Isaiah. I don't know which verse it is, but I'm just making a point that there's signs that actually that what it says in the Bible that you will miss if you are not right in when it comes to Bible teaching. Or your pastors are just, just plain lazy to look it up for you, or he has wrong motives, he has personal, gains, or he's after your money, or he's after your ability to contribute to the, to his personal gain. You know what I mean? Not for your personal, or that for your salvation is when it comes to your soul. So that, look it up. If you have any questions, anything on the, when it comes to the things that we talked about, I know that we missed, and we are asking for your forgiveness. You can go to livestream.com, Ellie Soriano, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can ask our minister to, regarding your salvations, regarding the Bible, anything you can ask. Anything you can ask, you can think of. You think you're a Bible thumper? You think you know it all? Go to that site and ask. And ask him. So I have nothing to add here. We are going to end this. We are signing off. We're going to end this program. And it's been a long day, long week. And we pray that this week is going to be fruitful for you. For you, when it comes to your relationship with God, and also have a blessed week for those that are listening to this podcast. If you, like I said, if you missed this, it will be your dreams will not come true. And just kidding. You can go to podcasts, you can go to blocktalkradio.com, and then you can download it in your iTunes, and also you can download it into your computer, and you can listen to it. You can also go into the download my toolbar, shopinsuperhighway.rtoolbar.com, and you can download this. You will have that link on the radio, and you'll be able to listen to it from the toolbar. And, you know, this episode and all the previous episodes we had. So, good night, good old Chicago, and this is Fernando and my co-host, lovely as always, Dawn P. We are signing off. Thank you very, very much for listening today, and we'll see you next week.